for our accounts in the Gospel of John, we are turning to chapter 20. I would like to invite you to read with me responsively. This is the account of the first Easter morning, as described by the Apostle John. Let me read verse 1, and I invite you to respond with verse 2. Early on in the first day of the week, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw the stone had been removed from the entrance. So Peter and the other disciples started for the tomb. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linens lying there, but did not go in. As well as a burial cloth that had been around Jesus' head. The cloth was folded up by itself, separate from the linen. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. But Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I don't know where they have put him." "Woman," he said, "why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will get him." Let's read together. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet returned to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I'm returning to my Father and to your Father, to my God and to your God." Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord," and she told them that he has said these things to her. "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that Jesus has said these things to her. It is important for us to note and to pay attention to the fact that the very first person that Jesus spoke to on the first Easter Sunday morning was a simple, common woman of faith, whom we do not know a lot about. However, we do know quite a few things about this Mary Magdalene. If you search the scriptures in Mark chapter 16, for example, we know that Jesus has earlier driven out 7 demons from Mary. And so in thankfulness and gratitude, Mary put her faith and her life in Jesus Christ. And ever since then, Mary had chosen to follow Christ and to support his ministry however she could. So that was Mark chapter 16. We also know that from John chapter 19, just hours before, Mary Magdalene was there at the foot of the cross when Jesus was holding a short conversation with John the apostle, or John the disciple, as well as Mary, his biological mother. Mary Magdalene was also present at that instance. And then in Mark chapter 13, we know that Mary was there, Mary Magdalene, together with other women, as Jesus' body was taken down from the cross and lay in the tomb. So there is a lot that we do not know about this Mary Magdalene. There are also a few things that we do know about this Mary Magdalene. Now, in spite of what the author of the Da Vinci Code would like to have you believe, there is absolutely no solid evidence whatsoever that Mary Magdalene was married to Jesus and they have children thereafter. Those claims came about several hundred years after the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And they were there for one reason, that is to discredit Christianity. We know that from all these gospel accounts, it was Mary Magdalene that Jesus chose to reveal himself for the very first time after his resurrection. What a blessing, privilege, and joy it must have been for Mary Magdalene. Early Sunday morning, as we have just read in this passage, Mary went to the tomb together with some other women to properly prepare Jesus' body for burial. They took along with them a lot of spices. But when they arrived at the tomb, they found that somehow the stone had already been rolled away from the tomb. Mary went back to tell Peter and John, and when they returned to check out the story for themselves, they also saw that Jesus' body was no longer in the tomb. The disciples, however, went home. But Mary Magdalene was so distraught that she chose to stay at the tomb for a little while longer, crying, sobbing. After two angels spoke to her, she turned to look at Jesus, thinking in her grief that it was only the gardener. Maybe the reason Mary was unable to recognize Jesus when he spoke to her was because she could not see him clearly because she was crying. Maybe there is something about the resurrected body of Jesus, you know, that took on a different appearance, such that Mary wasn't able to recognize Jesus himself. Even when Jesus first spoke to her, she did not recognize his voice. But we should not be all that surprised that Mary had difficulty recognizing Jesus at the very beginning. After all, it says very clearly, and from the very lips of John, the disciple himself, the disciples at that time still did not understand the meaning of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But then something amazing happened. Jesus called Mary by name. And with that one word, one name, Mary, everything changed. We find that Mary immediately recognized Jesus, and she wanted to hold on to him. And then later on, Mary went back to the rest of the disciples to share the good news with them. Something amazing happened, and it is important for us to take note. Using the example of Mary and her reaction, we know that when Jesus called Mary's name, it completely changed Mary's life forever. And the good news from the tomb and beyond the grave for all believers and every person who is serious about God, who hungers after him, is that Jesus today, right now, is still calling. Calling our name specifically. And when he calls my name, it also changes my life forever. And when he calls your name and you answer appropriately, you can also experience the same permanent, eternal, lasting change. So for just a little while this morning, we would like to think about how Jesus can call our name and what that means for our life. When Jesus called Mary's name, he created a whole new relationship with Mary Magdalene. It is interesting to know that when Jesus rose from the dead, the very first person to whom he chose to appear was one common, ordinary woman of faith, a Christian lady. Maybe some people would have expected or even suggested to Christ to find the biggest crowd there is to reveal himself. And if you have to choose just one person to reveal yourself, to show that you are really alive, maybe some other people would have suggested Jesus to try. Why not a high priest? Why not Pilate or Herod? Those people who tried him and condemned him unjustly. You know, just show up in front of their face, scare them, rub it in their face, and prove to them just how wrong they were. Or maybe, if not these three individuals, you know, why don't you try one of your beloved disciples, your inner circle, Peter, James, or John? you know, they would have been excellent, excellent testimony giver. But instead, we find that in this passage in John chapter 20, Jesus chose to appear to Mary. I think there is something very important, very encouraging, and very personal for each and every one of us here. Perhaps Jesus was trying to make the point that when he called Mary by name, he was trying to tell Mary, trying to tell everyone, including us here, that every person, everyone has worth, has significance, importance in his eyes. It doesn't matter how well-known you may be or how infamous you are. It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter whether you are male or female, young or old. In the eyes of the world, Mary Magdalene was a nobody. In fact, she had a very, very bad reputation, a very, very sad and difficult past. But as far as Jesus is concerned, it did not matter at all. Jesus chose Mary Magdalene and revealed himself to her, wanting Mary to know that she was special. She was a person of significance, great potential in the very, very eyes of God. She wanted Mary to know that even though she may not amount to much in the eyes of the world, but yet in the eyes of Jesus, she was significant, she was important, and she was loved by God because she was created by God to have fellowship with God. Remember perhaps one time that, you know, Jesus told his disciple on one occasion just how much he wanted to be their friends, how much he would welcome fellowship with them, to be close to them. John chapter 15, verse 15, Jesus says in very clear terms to his disciples, "I no longer call you servants because a master doesn't confide in his servants." How true it is. The master doesn't have to tell his servants everything. "I no longer call you servants because the master doesn't confide in his servants. Now I call you my friends, since I have told you everything the Father told me." Do you know how much Jesus wants to have a living, ongoing, personal relationship with you? Doesn't matter who you are. Doesn't matter what your background is. Doesn't matter how old, how young you are. Doesn't matter how busy you are. Jesus says that, you know, "I now called you friend." We are his friends. And he wants to tell us everything that he has heard from the Father. So Jesus that day very deliberately and very significantly chose to reveal to one person, Mary Magdalene, to use her as an example to tell us that she as a person created in the image of God is important to God because God has created her to have fellowship, relationship with him. And by the same token, Jesus wants Mary to know that she is loved by God and we are loved by God. We know that Mary had a relationship with Jesus prior to his death and resurrection. After all, Jesus had driven out 7 demons from her. And from then on, she was all sold out to Christ. But it is not enough. She only knew the physical Jesus on earth. And now Jesus has risen from the dead. It was a slightly different Jesus. The resurrection is going to deepen and broaden the character of their relationship. Jesus wanted Mary to understand that the nature of their relationship has changed a little bit for the better. No longer would Mary be able to experience the physical Jesus on earth, and in a way that is sad as far as Mary is concerned. But on the other hand, she was going to get something far better, something more permanent and something more glorious, a lasting, intimate relationship with Jesus, the risen Lord, the Savior, and the Master of the world. And that was what Jesus wanted to bless Mary with. When Jesus called Mary by name, yes, Mary already knew Jesus to some extent, but when Jesus called Mary by name, he changed her relationship into a better, lasting, ongoing eternal relationship. When Jesus calls my name, it means that he's calling me also to a personal, ongoing, growing relationship with him. Perhaps there are some among us here who have never bothered to consider Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord of their life. And maybe this morning, as Jesus once called Mary by name, Jesus is saying that, you know, can you hear the whisper? Can you hear the whisper outside the door of your heart? It is from me. I'm whispering your name. I'm calling you. I'm telling you that it doesn't matter how you may have been feeling about yourself. It doesn't matter whether you feel that you don't have much. It doesn't matter about your past. It doesn't matter where you came from. I just want you to know that, like Mary, you are a person of significance, of worth, of value, infinite value in my eyes, because I have created you for the very special purpose that I want to know you, and I want you to know me. I want to have a relationship. I want to have friendship with you. Before, I have called you servants, but I no longer call you servants. You are my friends now. Maybe Jesus is telling you that, you know, you are not here by accident. You didn't come just so much because your family or your friends were nagging you to come. Or maybe because it was a special Easter Sunday, so, you know, beside Christmas, let's pay God a second visit on Easter Sunday. No, you were here because God has put you here, and God has been knocking on your door, and he's saying that, you know, it is time. It is time that you hear my whisper, my calling your name. And God is hoping that you would hear his call and you would yield yourself to him. But maybe for some of us, many of us here who, like Mary, has once been called by Jesus and fallen in love with him, we need a second refreshing call. Or maybe a third, maybe a seventh refreshing encounter with the Lord Jesus. Because if we do not keep our relationship personal, intimate, and ongoing with Christ, somehow, somewhere, it is going to fall by the wayside. We are going to have God. It's just that, you know, God is no longer in the center of our life. And Jesus is saying that, you know, I called you months ago. I called you years ago. But bear in mind that I'm still calling you. Why? Because the risen Lord, Jesus, the resurrected Lord, wants to have a broader, a deeper, a more personal relationship with you. And would you open your door and let him in? And Jesus is calling all of us here, either to listen to him for the very first time seriously, or to listen to him again and give ourselves to him. Either way, God is calling. Know that when God calls my name, he's calling for my response. When Jesus called Mary's name, Mary had a few options. Mary could have chosen to ignore Jesus altogether. Mary could have chosen to doubt Jesus. She could say that, you know, I do believe in this Jesus of resurrection, but I don't have to do with him. I don't have to have anything to do with him. She could also have chosen to reject Jesus altogether. But we read in the accounts of John chapter 20, instead, Mary chose to embrace Jesus. Although Mary did not understand there is to be understood about the resurrection of Jesus, she somehow obeyed Jesus. She made a conscious and personal decision to embrace him and to follow him. And this morning, if you hear Jesus calling you by your name, Jesus is also asking, hoping for a definite, positive response from you. Jesus is hoping that, like Mary, we would also say yes to him, even though there is yet so much about him that we ought to discover, even though we may not totally understand about the Trinity God, even though we may not have read the Bible, you know, the entire Bible. like Mary, we have several options. We can choose to ignore him, doubt him, or reject him. But the bottom line is that God is calling, and he's hoping that you and I would find it somewhere in our hearts to embrace him and let him do what he wants with us. On the one hand, it is a little bit sad for Mary that she would no longer have Jesus physically with her on earth. But on the other hand, she has gained something far more important. She has the living Jesus in her heart. Wherever she goes, Jesus may not be physically be with her, but Jesus is always with her. Here is what Jesus said about those who embrace him when he calls their name and they responded to him. My sheep, in John chapter 10, my sheep listen to my voice, I know them and they follow me. I gave them life eternal and they shall never perish. No one can ever snatch them out of my hands. This morning, I know that God is calling our names individually, specifically, and persistently. And our prayers is that we would, like Mary, embrace Jesus, respond to him. If you're not sure how to do that, we are hoping that you know you want to do that after the service. Come and talk to Pastor Sam or me, and then we would love to share with you how to do that. We would love to pray with you and to pray for you. But we are thankful to God that there are many, many Mary Magdalenes in this church and in the Church of Jesus worldwide. They are the brothers and sisters who, having heard God call them, gladly embraced the call of God, who, having heard God call them, chose to follow him no matter what, who, having heard God call them, continue to live in a growing relationship with the Lord Jesus. There is nothing more satisfying in the eyes of God to see his people hungering for him and growing in love with him. Is God calling your name for the third time, for the first time, or for the 21st time? Where are you with the Lord Jesus Christ? Are you still doubting him, or that you have been ignoring him? Or are you falling in love with him over and again? Let us pray. Father, we give you thanks because we know that you are speaking to each and every one of us. No matter what our background is, our language, our culture, no matter who we are, Father, we thank you because we know that you are calling us by our name. And we pray that you would give us the obedience and the power of the Lord Jesus to respond and embrace your call. Thank you that you want to have us as your friends, close friends. And thank you, O Lord, that by the power of your Holy Spirit, you would enable us to respond accordingly. Thank you, O Father God, for we commit all our prayers, all our concerns, all our fears, all our anxiety, and all our wants to you. And we thank you, O Lord, that you would continue to lead. For Father, you are a God who gives new, brand new, and meaningful beginnings each and every time. And thank you, O Lord Jesus, for teaching us how to pray. And now as people of God, let us come before the Lord and pray with a prayer that Jesus has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom comes, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
At this time, I'd like to ask the ushers to come forward as we prepare our tithes and offering and continue our spirit of worship. And before we give our offerings, I'd like to just pray for the offering and bless it unto God. Let's pray. Lord God, we pray for the offering that we are about to give. We pray that it would be a pleasing sacrifice in your eyes. We pray, God, that we would give out of joy, out of celebration, for the new life and the new hope that you have given us in the risen Lord. We pray that today, Lord, that you would free us, God, from the cares and anxieties of this world, and help us to be generous in our grace and love, just as you have been generous in your resurrecting love with us. We pray that you would use these funds to promote life, to promote the things of your kingdom. All for the glory of your name, we pray. Amen. Amen.